Okay, tonight is Tuesday night, June 18th. This is the Gemara share. We're up to Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Okay, Rabotai. We'll start again at the Gemara. We read the first line of Shmuel, and we discussed last week the halach of Shema Yikadmenu Acher. Then we'll continue with the Gemara and tonight's sugya about Shtarei Psikta. So the Mishnah had said that, the first line in the Mishnah, that you are permitted to write Kiddushei Nashim on Cholosho Moed. Ve'elu Kosvin B'Moed, Kiddushei Nashim. The Mishnah has to be understood as telling us, without saying as much, that you're allowed to get engaged on Cholosho Moed. Because if you were not permitted to get engaged, why would the Mishnah allow you to write a Shtar Kiddushin if it was not going to be used on Cholosho Moed? The Shtar Kiddushin is a means of acquisition, is one of the three ways in which Kiddushin can be performed. So the Mishnah, underlying its statement that you're allowed to write the document, must assume that you're allowed to engage on Cholosho Moed. So when the Gemara begins, Omar Shmuel, Mutar le'adam le'areis isha b'Cholosho Moed, Shmuel says, you are allowed to betroth somebody in Cholosho Moed. We mentioned that Rishonim asked the question, what do I need Shmuel for? It's already abundantly evident in the Mishnah. But he adds a reason. Shema yikadmenu acher. So we explain that apparently without Shmuel's reason, we would have prohibited Kiddushin on Cholosho Moed. Why would I have prohibited Kiddushin on Cholosho Moed? Because it appears as mekach u'memkar. It appears as if it's some type of financial deal, acquisition, and Chazal tried to eliminate commerce and commercial interaction on Cholosho Moed. So if not for the fact that Shmuel is concerned that if this person does not betroth this young woman, he is afraid that somebody might chop her up, somebody else might chop her up, Shema yikadmenu acher. If not for that, indeed, we would not allow you to write a shtar kiddushin on Cholosho Moed, because it would be prohibited to get engaged on Cholosho Moed. The only reason why we allow you to write the document is based on Shmuel's consideration that Shema yikadmenu acher. And that had to be running through the Mishnah's mind. That's what we explained last time. So now the Gemara is going to ask the question, Lema misayale, let us bring support to Shmuel's halacha. Because when the Gemara quotes Shmuel, it does not appear as if he is just coming to explain the Mishnah. If you read the statement independently, it sounds like this is the great chiddush of Shmuel. Omar Shmuel, mutar la'areis isha b'cholosho moed, because shema yikadmenu acher. So that's certainly the way the Gemara understood Shmuel. That Shmuel is not presenting a defense of the Mishnah. Shmuel is saying his own chiddush. And that's why the next line of the Gemara will make sense. Says the Gemara, Lema Misayale, let us bring our Mishnah as support to Shmuel's statement. What does the Mishnah say? Ve'elu kosvin b'moed kiddushei nashim. You're allowed to write kiddushei nashim. So obviously the Gemara believes that Shmuel was not commenting on the Mishnah, but saying something independently. And now the Gemara, the Amora who is citing this Gemara, is going to bring the Mishnah to support Shmuel's opinion. So based on the fact that the Mishnah says you are allowed to write Kiddushei Nashim. Yeah.
But it's actually backwards. Right. Because the reason you can write the Shtar is because of the Erusin, not the other way around.
That's correct.
So, without the Mishnah.
No, but that's why I started my words. I started the Mishnah. That if not for the fact that the Mishnah would have operated in an assumption that you can engage a woman on Chalosh HaMoed, the Mishnah probably would not have said that you're allowed to write it. Because otherwise, why would I allow you to write a document of Kiddushin when you're not allowed to get engaged?
Right, so the Messiah is, since you can get engaged, therefore you can write the Shtar.
Right, but that would have been the implication of the... So then what's Shmuel adding? Well, normally I have an Amora making a statement because I didn't know about it. Shmuel is not really being mechadesh much, even though he appears to say something. I'm going to chedesh, other than his rationale. Shmuel, you can say,
the reason for
is giving. Why does the Mishnah? All right, exactly.
Or the other way, Shmuel is making his statement based on he knows the Mishnah already. So that's the support for that statement.
That's correct. But it's not exactly the smoothest way in which things normally appear.
Right.
Normally, when an Amora makes a statement, which is an independent, it's not that it's already found in the Mishnah.
Right.
It's somewhat of a Chiddush. And then the Gemara brings a support. Oh, you know what? The Mishnah, which doesn't directly talk about what you're talking about,
right,
supports your Amoraic support. Here, it's a little more, it's not as smooth as it normally appears. So now the Gemara says, "My love, shtare kiddushin mamish." Does not the Mishnah mean that you are permitted to write "Hare at mekudeshes li b'shtar zu kiddas Moshe v'Yisrael"? Does not the Mishnah mean exactly that? Answers the Gemara, "No, lo shtare psikta." What the Mishnah allows you to write, even though it calls it Kiddushei Nashim, is not a shtar of Kiddushin. Because you are indeed not permitted to get married on Chalosh HaMoed. Hence, I will not allow you to write the document. So what are you allowed to write the document? What we would call loosely today, the Tanayim. The Tanayim. Where the Tanayim, which we sign, basically a waste of time, a photo op to break the plate. But in Amule Gitzaten, in European communities, when they wrote Tanayim, it was several months before the Kiddushin, before the halachic engagement, and they took it very seriously. In fact, last night, I was at a wedding, and I couldn't have the shir last night, they asked me to be an orev for the kallah. An orev, meaning the Tanayim present themselves as the two respective parents obligating themselves to bring their respective children to the chuppah. And in light of the fact that in all probability financial expenses have already been made, you probably put a deposit to the caterer and to the band and so on and so forth, what happens if one of the two parties don't show up? So the real Tanayim was an obligation that the two fathers make to compensate the other in case their son or daughter doesn't show up at the chuppah. That type of a Tanayim makes sense. I have not seen a chassan or kala not come to the chuppah right after the Tanayim are signed, 5 minutes before the chuppah. So today it's a joke. But at that time it was serious. So there were communities, particularly among Chassidish communities, that they didn't trust that the father would have sufficient resources to compensate the other party in case what? In case he defaulted. His kid didn't come to the chuppah. So they insisted on getting a co-signer, a guarantor. So they asked me to be the co-signer. I figured it was 5 minutes before the chuppah, I can run that risk. To be the co-signer on behalf of the father of the kala, that in case he should default, and his daughter didn't come to the chuppah, and now he has to pay the expenses. If he defaulted, I have to pay. So it was taken seriously. So, and it wasn't just the loose change, the loosely worded Tanaim. Oh, you know what, I'll pick up and say. In the Shtarei Psikta, in the Tanaim, it said exactly what you're promising to the Chassan and the Kala. The Nadan, I'm giving him an apartment, I'm giving him this. Everything was listed explicitly in the... And that's what the Gemara means. Ukidarav Gidul Amarav. The Amarav Gidul Amarav... Kama atol nosin labincha kach v'kach. How much, Mr. Father of Chassan, are you giving to your son to bring into the marriage? Turning to the father of the kala, kama atol nosin labincha kach v'kach. I'm giving him X, Y, giving her X, Y, and Z. Umdu v'kitchu. If ultimately they did get engaged, kanu. There is a legal obligation to fulfill the stipulation of this even verbal agreement. Doesn't have to be written down. Hein hein hadvarim haniknin ba'amira. It is one of the things that Chazal, we'll see if it's a machlokes between the Noida Behuda and the Chazoinish, whether it's Dorabanan or Doraisa. So, it's one of the things where the takana is, you don't need a kinyan. Normally, in order to enforce the fact that you are obligating yourself, you require a kinyan. This does not require a kinyan. Pop says, I am going to what? Give my son such and such. Father of the kala says, I'm going to give my daughter such and such. If they wind up getting engaged, the amira, the verbal commitment, automatically obligates themselves to pay it up, despite the fact that no kinyan was made. That's what the Gemara says. Stop right there for a minute and take the sources. So, what the Gemara here quoted was the Gemara in Ksubis. And Tosfos told you to look at it, so I did. And there the Gemara just adds one other caveat. Gufa. Amarav gidul amarav. Kama atonosin labincha, kach v'kach. V'kama atonosin labidcha, kach v'kach. Amru v'kitchu, kanu. Hein hein hadvarim haniknim ba'amira. Does anybody know, anybody else know something that is acquired, even though no kinyan was made, simply by amira? Matanas shchiv meira. Somebody who is about to die, and there is no time to start writing up documents and making kinyanim, if he says, on his deathbed, I want to give such and such to somebody, I want to give such and such to somebody, that too is niknes ba'amira, rather than demanding a fancy kinyan. On my rub.
But the Gemara uses an even more emphatic language, right?
Yes. Kinsur mechimsurundam. It's as if you've delivered it already. Correct. On my rub. Mistabra milsa derav bibito na'ara. I can understand the halacha of Rav if the daughter happened to be a na'ara. Why? De kamati hana'a liyodei. Because the father does actually get some hana'ah under those circumstances. How does the father get hana'ah under those circumstances?
Doesn't have to support her.
What? Hey, but no, but it's one step further. He has some degree of control while she is still a nara, and according to some, can invest the principal, things along those lines. So he really gets Hana'ah. So once he gets Hana'ah, we understand why he's willing to be makneh his promise, because after all, he is somewhat of a beneficiary. Avo bogeres, but by the time a woman is 12 years old, plus 6 months, and she's reached the age of belgeres, at that time, father has no connection whatsoever to the daughter. He cannot marry her off any longer. A katana and a nara, he still can marry her off, but not a bogeres. So under what so therefore, Rava said, lo. Under those circumstances, father cannot be obligated to make payment on his commitment unless he made a kenyan. The words are not yet sufficient. Asked the Gemara, for ho Elohim? What do you, I swear by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't know what you're talking about. Amar Rav, afilu bokeres. Rav himself, who's the author of this statement, said that it applies even to a bogeres. Why? The ilo teimahachi, avi haben mayhano osa liyadei. The father of the chassan in general, what does he get out of any of these deals? The father of the kala, we understand that he gets up of hana. What type of hana does the father have? He's in control of his daughter's marriage. A father of the chassan can't do anything. A father, the chassan can't be married off by his father under any circumstances. He has to wait until he's bar mitzvah, and when he's bar mitzvah, the father doesn't have any control. So I can understand, says Rav, the father of the kala, who has something in it for him, why he will be makne himself based on the hana that he receives. But the father of the chassan, what does he receive? Answers the Gemara, Ela bahahi hana dekirmechtani ahadadi. Gamri umakni lahadadi. What hana does he get? The hana that his son is getting married. That he pledged himself to this young lady. And he knows, oh, another burden taken off me. And often, and I'll just bring one illustration, often, even though the intended and normal requirement of hana'ah doesn't exist, if you generate hana'ah through something, it's considered as if you got paid. For example, under normal circumstances, if the kala gives the ring to the chassan, under those circumstances, you can't create the bond of kedushin. Unless it's Adam Chashuv. If you have a distinguished Adam Chashuv, and the Kala gives him money on condition that he will be Mekadeshar, says the Gemara Kedushin on Dav Zayin, the Kedushin is Chal. Why? Because an Adam Chashuv doesn't take a gift from Stam anybody. So the mere fact that this Adam Chashuv accepted a gift from this Kala, that is the hana'ah that she receives in order to generate the kedushin. So the chassan didn't give anything. It's the chassan who has to give something to the kala so that she can be a beneficiary of hana'ah from him. So she is a beneficiary of hana'ah. How? By him being so nice to accept this gift from her. So there is already a parallel in halacha that in order to create the kedushin, all you need is any type of hana'a whatsoever is enough to warrant a kinyan. So here too, father is the father of the chassan. Although having no control whatsoever over his chassan, nonetheless is makne, is mischayev himself to the agreement of the psikta of the Tanayim by virtue of the fact that he is delighted that his son went ahead and got married. That's what the Gemara says. Good. Now, on page number 2, the Noiv Yehuda says quite openly, in a rather lengthy tshuva describing a variety of such about these issues about shtarei psikta, and he says shtarei psikta chazal tiknu shiyihiyu niknim ba'amira mita oraisa. There ain't no such animal as dvarim haniknim ba'amira. However, midrabanan, the rabbanan said, okay, so the Rabbanan can do whatever they want. And they write that shtarei psikta, the obligations to furnish chassan and kala with X, Y, and Z, that is chal midrabanan, and therefore, in the absence of a kinyan, still will demand that I pay up. However, the Chazon Ish on page number 3 writes, And he uses the example, that's why I use the example about Kedushin, because that's the example that he used. He writes, Venira dezeh hevekinyin deoraisa. This is a kinyin mitoraisa. Kidaoma lael Zion Amir Aleph, but Adam Chashuv Bahahi Hana. There, does it ever say any place in a Mishnah that a woman can become engaged via the Hana'a that she receives based on the fact that this Adam Chashuv accepted a gift from her? I never saw that any place in the Mishnah. And yet, when the Gemara says that she is Mekudeshes, no one ever said that she's Mekudeshes only mitarabbana. She is Mekudeshes mita oraisa, and if they want to get divorced, she needs a get mita oraisa, argues the Chazon Ish. Continue in the second bracketed line. Ubinoide bihuda chayshin mishpat simun chavches kasav. Whatever that is, it's takanas chachamim. It's only a takanas chachamim. It's not a din d'oraisa. And he, of course, believes that it doesn't operate mid'oraisa. It operates mid'oraisa and not mid'rabbana. And there is a very compelling svara as to justify the Chazon Ish, even though there is no biblical source for such a thing that you can be kona with amira. No biblical source whatsoever. But the hana itself generates it. And it's based on a halacha that I would give you the illustration. Has anybody have a son who got engaged recently that you might remember what to do when you go to 47th Street?
Oh, buy a ring.
What do you have to say? Mazel u'bracha. You must say Mazel u'bracha on 47th Street. Every single guy knows. I'm serious.
But you have to shake hands.
That's where we learn it out from. So Mazel u'bracha. You can negotiate from today till tomorrow about the ring, how much you want to pay, and they often do on 47th Street. But once you say Mazel u'bracha, you can't withdraw. And it operates on a din d'oraisa. And the illustration which you gave is the handshake. There is no such halacha ever in Kinyanim. You can learn first Parakeet Kedushin, which is all Kinyanim, never says that Situmta, a handshake, is a valid Kinyan. But it's recognized. Because the halacha says that whatever is considered standard commercial business practice is recognized by the Torah as acceptable. Recognized by the Torah is acceptable. Business practice is recognized.
That would be good by Mechiras Chametz too.
What?
That would be good by Mechiras Chametz.
100%. 100%. It's one of the kinyanim which I make with the Gentile. We do with several kinyanim, but a handshake is first and foremost. They understand that very well, and it works on a d'oraisa level.
But under which d'oraisa?
It's under the d'oraisa of Kenyan, whatever it is. Whatever Kenyan you want to think about. Some say it's a broad Kenyan chazaka, if it's karka. I don't know, it's a good question. I don't know where they assume it, where they assign it. And many have explained why the case is, I think I mentioned this once, why the Gemara arbitrarily says that the halacha is like Shmuel by Dine Mamonos, and the halacha is like Rav by Isser and Heter. Very odd decision. So the explanation is that when you're looking for Isser and Heter, you're looking for the halacha as close as possible to the Masoga. That's what you're looking for. And Rav was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, a direct student. So his Masora was probably more accurate than Shmuel, who was a student of Rab Chia, who was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So it's one generation less. By Dine Mamonos, we don't care what the halacha is in Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah. What we care is the common business practice. Shmuel was not a Rosh Yeshiva. Shmuel was the Rav of Nahar Dor. He was the Rav. A Pumbedisa. He was the Rav, not the Rosh Yeshiva. So he was much more familiar with local business practices than Rav was. And that's why we pasken halacha kishmua b'din amamas. So here too, the Chazon Ish will argue that if this is now considered an accepted way, that if you generate any benefit whatsoever, that is considered enough for a formal kinyan, so we will recognize that, and you don't have to say, as the Noi de Behuda did, that it is only a din de Rabbana. So that's a machloikis you should remember, whether this hana is a din de Oraisa or a din de Rabbana. If you go to page 4, the Ritva says, the Ritva says, in the second bracket of line, Umehadrinan, and the Gemara answers, "My shtari kedushin shtari psikta, ukidirav gida, pireish." Shtarei psikta kari luhu shtarei kedushin. The Mishnah, even though it doesn't say the word shtarei psikta, it says the word shtarei kedushin. It is calling shtarei psikta shtarei kedushin. Lefi, why is it? Why would I call a shtar psikta a shtar kedushin and, you know, mislead people? Everybody knows what a shtar kedushin is. You learn the first Mishnah in kedushin, you know what it is. Lefi she'ein nigmarin velo ma'ilin ela im kain yesh aleim kedushin. The only time that a shtar psikta works to obligate the respective fathers to pay up is if ultimately they got engaged. Kida amar avgidol amdu v'kitchu hein hadvarim hanikrim be'emira. Inference: halo kitchu lo mahani. However, if they ultimately did not get engaged, under those circumstances, I, the father of the chasan or the kala, am not obligated to pay them a nickel. Kach piresh harabenu yosi zal. V'chein nira mi piresh rashi zechon elavracha. The seyata de rav gidel mishum de ikal meimar de mishum hachi. We call them shtari kedushin. The imkain shtari psikta, the shari lichtov b'moed, that which we allow you to write, shtari psikta, is kigon shekvar shidchu v'kitchu kodem hamoed. When did the engagement have to take place, according to Rashi, to allow you to write the shtar psikta on Cholosh HaMoed? No promises that I'm going to get engaged. You had to have gotten engaged before Yom Tov. Now, it's only a question of, under those circumstances, I will allow shtarei psikta to be written on Cholosh HaMoed.
What is halachic engagement?
Harayat Mekudesh's League. Like we, don't forget, in the time of the Gemara, it was done 6 months to a year before. In the presence of two witnesses, no band, no shmorg, no nothing. That's the. Then you only came to the chuppah 6 months later. We do Erusin, Kedushin, and Nesuin at the same time, based on a takana of Rashi.
There was a ring given?
Yeah, 100%. The regular ring that we give today. Is it worth a Shabbatuta
so
to aid in?
If the star, the Tanan, the star...
Psikta.
It's not required, right?
Absolutely not. But
that, why should that be enough?
Because it was it was standard practice to do so.
Which is, I guess, why Amir is good. Stop a standard practice.
It was. That's correct. That was the standard practice to do it. Yes. Yeah. She'im lo kein, had they not gotten engaged, harei ein bohem klum imadayin asidin lekadesh laachar hamoed. If they're first going to get engaged when? After Yontif. Right now, there is nothing binding between the two of them. So why should I allow you, indeed, to negotiate and write a shtar psikta on Cholosh HaMoed? Now, not all Rishonim agree with that. The Ha'amrinan, because right now, the Gemara is of the opinion, it is rejecting that it meant real shtar kedushin. Sha'asu l'kadesh. And you are not permitted to be Mekadesh and Moed. So therefore, what must you say? What must you say? You must say that that he got engaged before Yontif. He got engaged before Yontif.
Well, why would it be Shema Yekadmenu then?
What?
You need to get after Kedushin, right?
Correct.
So how, why?
Very simply, the guy falls in love with somebody else, he writes her a get, and could be a child.
After Nisuin, I mean, that's always.
Okay, but after Nisuin, we're not as much worried. In fact, I was just going to say, why is it that we do Nisuin and Kedushin at the same time? So Rashi made a takana. Why did Rashi make a takana? Because of guys who were taking advantage of young women by violating the Gemara, which said that you cannot get engaged by having relations, and they would engage by having 5 seconds later, the get was already ready, and goodbye, Charlie. 2 nights later, he goes on a date with somebody else. Oh, let's get engaged. Goes to bed. 5 minutes later, he calls the cipher. Let's write another get. So Rashi wanted to put away this hanky-panky, and he said that from here on in, Kedushin and Nisuin. Because the halacha is, if you divorce somebody after Kedushin, you don't have to pay the ksuba. So there was no incentive for a young guy not to play games. But once the Nisuin took place, and it's going to cost him whatever the ksuba is worth, $18,000, he'll find a better way to spend $18,000. Yeah, good. That's what the Ritva says. So it's actually a machloikis. Rashi is of the opinion that Ritva himself, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, did not say you had to have already gotten engaged, but eventually you will get engaged. So once you do get engaged, the chiyuv will kick in. The Ritva himself is concerned about the fact, forget about when the chiyuv to kick in. Why am I going to let her write you the document? That's the issue. Why am I going to let you write the document on Cholosh HaMoed? That I don't want to do unless there's already engagement already before. Correct. Yeah. In fact, the Svas Emes says something, then he says, I just sort of reversed what I just said. When I was bechadish, I saw the Ritva. Take a look at page 5. Ein lahakshos lidas hapoiskin didafka ba'amdu v'kitchu miyad niknin ba'amira. According to those poskim who say that you must necessarily get engaged right away after the agreement of the shtarps of the psikta, after you make your financial commitments, you must get engaged right away. The in kain kavon de bemoed ein mekachin. If the Gemara is now operating on the assumption that you cannot get engaged on Cholosh HaMoed, lo shayakan hoder Rav Gidl. Rav Gidl, under what circumstances would Rav Gidl allow you to write a shtar on Cholosh HaMoed if you require that the future engagement take place immediately after the agreement? V'yesh loimar kigon shekidim shekidesh kaidem aregel. They got engaged before Yontif. V'ata rotzen lichtov l'ra'aya mashin edaber b'shas ha'kedushin. So he adds a little thought here. Even though it's Dvarim HaNiknin Ba'amira, it's smart not to rely on that Amira. Because what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to bring the Edim. It's a pain in the neck. Like this, you want to have a written testimony, and therefore you want to write the Shtar Kedushin. V'chein matzasi b'ritva. And I found the Ritva said the same thing, that they actually got engaged before Yom Tov, and now they made the agreement, the kinyan is chal, but nonetheless, they don't trust one another, and would like to have a... a kinyan, so that and a shtar to serve as ultimate proof, and that's what most of the shtarot that deal with around the kedushin, the ksuba, for example. There are two types of shtarot. There is a shtar which is called a shtar kinyan. A shtar kinyan is a shtar kedushin, where via the document, the halakhic status changes. Via the document. Then, there are most, and a get is a shtar raya, a shtar kinyan. If you buy a house, and you write a deed to acquire the house, that's a shtar kinyan. The other category of shtarot are called shtarei raya. The obligation to do something is created elsewhere. The function of the piece of paper is only to serve as proof. That's the function of a ksuba. The obligation to pay the ksuba is done by the chassan at the chassan's nish, where he picks up, makes a kinyan. The rabbi represents, is a shliach for the kala, and he, chassan, picks up a handkerchief, whatever it is, to obligate himself. The ksuba is just a shtar raya. And that's why I can't understand, it became fashionable over the last couple of years for the Masada Kedushin to tell the Ede Kedushin to wait under the chuppah until the ksuba is read, and then they will witness the transfer of the ksuba from the chassan to the kala. Why are they doing something like that? I have no idea. Because even though shtarei kinyan can be enacted by Ede Mesira, watching it being given over. So if I have a Shtar Kedushin, I don't have to have any witnesses signed on that document. If I'm buying your house and I use a document as the means of acquisition, all I need is two witnesses to witness giving the document to the other person. But a Shtar Raya, of course, needs two witnesses that the deal had been. So ksuba is a shtar raya. Shtar raya is not affected by mesira. What must you have? Ede chasima, like Rabbi Meir's opinion. So it's, I don't understand why they ask, you know, in my day, did anybody ask? In my time, no one ever did that. Today, it became a little amada.
How can people say you can't, if you don't read a ksuba, is you can't live together?
That's a takanas chachamim. You are not permitted to live together without a ksuba.
You know, the ksuba is just there as a riot. Has no,
it's just to protect the woman.
Okay.
That she should have protection in case husband does something stupid. That's all. Yeah. Ach lefi zeh, says the Sfas Emes, im hoyelo pnai, im hoyelo pnai lichtov kodom hamoed, osur lichtov b'moed. If there was adequate time to write the shtar psikta after the engagement, before yontiv, I'm not allowing you to write it when? On Cholosh HaMoed. It's only, you got engaged 2 minutes before yontiv, and you have a chance to do so. Under those circumstances, I'll allow you to do so. Yeah. And finally, on page 6, you have all of the Mechaber and the Ramah, who quote this particular halacha about Ashtar Psikta, and they give you a lot of the details about Ashtar Psikta. Again, we don't typically do it today, and even the Tanaim is not really Ashtar Psikta. It's just an agreement to compensate the respective fathers in case default of the not coming to the chuppah. But a shtar psikta, that which fathers promise, I haven't seen any of these today at all. Haven't seen any at all. Some include these things in Eretz Yisrael, it's practical, in what we call Tosefes Ksuba. We just write the standard 200 zuz, in the Ksuba, and that's it. In Eretz Yisrael, they write sometimes hundreds and thousands of shekel.
The boys have a competition who could
who can outdo each other, really. Yeah. So and they write it in, and they write it in the Ksuba itself. In the Ksuba itself, they write how much the father was obligating himself to, for the nadav, for the dowry, and how much the kala's father is contributing to 68 dresses, 440 pairs of shoes. All of that is included in the Ksuba under Tosefes Ksuba. Okay, we'll stop here, allow everybody to make mincha. It's okay, I understand.